Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
They seek him here. They seek him there. His clothes are loud, but never square. It will make or break him, so he's got to buy the best. Cause he's a dedicated follower of fashion.
Now that song by The Kinks, Dedicated Follower of Fashion. Pretty sarcastic take, and with Fashion Week in full swing in New York, here's a question for you. Is fashion important to you? Is fashion for you beneath contempt? Did you see Guy Trebay's article in the Times Sunday Styles last week called Admit It, You Love It, It Matters? Listen to this. It was almost a response decade later to The Kinks. He wrote, depending on who's doing the talking, fashion is bourgeois, girly, unfeminist, conformist, elitist, frivolous, anti-intellectual, and a cultural stepchild barely worth the attention paid to even the most minor arts. And continues those who score... Oh, he refers to Elaine Showalter, the feminist literary critic and professor emeritus at Princeton, who said, there is the suggestion that fashion is not an art form or a cultural form, but a form of vanity and consumerism. And he refers to those of us who scorn fashion outright and those who don't, but nevertheless have the uneasy sense that this compelling world of surfaces and self-presentation is unworthy of regard. And obviously he's setting this up to take the other side. He says, when Valerie Steele, the director of the museum at the Fashion Institute of Technology here in New York, declared an interest at Yale Graduate School in pursuing the history of fashion, colleagues were horror-struck. And he quotes Ms. Steele as saying, I was amazed at how much hostility was directed at me. The intellectuals thought it was unspeakable, despicable, everything but vain and sinful. She might as well have joined a satanic cult. So do you have a similar... love, hate. Oh, then he quotes Miuccia Prada, who once remarked to Guy Trebay about fashion in a conversation during which they mutually confessed to unease at being compelled to a subject so patently superficial. And yet Ms. Prada said, of course, I love it also. So do you have a similar love, hate, or love, embarrassment relationship with fashion? Give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Also wonder about the generational thing here. 1970s era feminists are much more likely to reject fashion altogether and dress plainly, whereas younger feminists are much more likely to press the politics of equality, but be unashamed about their shoe collection. So maybe some of you older and younger self-identified feminists can talk about that. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And I'm pleased to have with us right now the designer and professor of fashion at FIT, George Simonton. Mr. Simonton, thanks a lot for coming on with us.
Oh, a pleasure is mine. Thank you.
Has this debate been swirling around your intellectual friend circles for all your life?
Well, you know, it's interesting. When we get up in the morning, we wake up naked, and all of us have to put on something, put on clothes. And image is so important. Whether these pseudo-intellectuals feel that way or not, they still are concerned about what their image is. This first time you meet someone on an interview, you really there's a way of judging someone by the way they put themselves together, if they care about their grooming. I mean, you have two people that go for an interview. One is beautifully groomed, one is really taking care of themselves. Same background, same, you know, degree. You know who's going to be chosen for the job. I mean, it really comes down to taking pride in your appearance, love of beauty. I mean, there's nothing wrong with, you know, loving beautiful fabrics and the way something fits. I mean, even men love going to fashion shows. When we have fundraisers, the men love going to shows and seeing people.
Do they notice the clothes, the men?
Well, they first look at the face, then they look at the clothes, and if the clothes are important and interesting looking, you know, if they're bright people, they'll notice that there's a lot of ingenuity that goes into it. A lot of people that are not in fashion think clothes just happen, but there's so many things that go into involve in concept and balance and merchandising a fashion line today.
You're saying there's no such thing as fashionless putting on clothes. If you just put on jeans and a T-shirt, you're making a fashion statement.
Absolutely. Steve McQueen, in fact, Allie McGraw said once that everyone thought Steve McQueen was not interested in fashion. He worried about the cut of his jean and how he looked. I mean, you know, and this is a super macho man, and he definitely was concerned about his appearance and how he looked.
But what about the sentiment expressed in that Kink song, that sarcasm to people who are dedicated followers of fashion? Certainly there are fashionable clothes that someone could wear to an interview, to take your example, that might make the employer think that the person was shallow and not just well-dressed.
Well, it depends upon how you get yourself together in the morning. And you know, if you're doing something that's appropriately dressed, they'll take you serious, that you're serious about your work and you're coming prepared to work in a serious environment. It's different if a woman's going to be a lawyer or she's going to work in a nightclub. I mean, it's a whole different
right. But I mean, even within realms of clothing, to stay with the interview scenario, what does it matter to anything, for example, if a man's suit has short lapels and three buttons, like we tend to wear today, or long lapels and two buttons, like 10 or 15 years ago? Does it mean anything?
Well, it is. It
other than
the
that the clothing industry is manipulating us into feeling we need to update our perfectly good wardrobe.
Well, today, no one really needs anything. You go into your, I'm sure your wardrobe has tons of things and everyone around you has tons of things. It's our job as designers and creative people to stimulate that business. We can never lose sight of the fact, I even tell my students, you can have to make something that's beautiful, but yet you can never lose sight of the fact that it is a business. I mean, I go to Europe and I have tons of T-shirts, but if I see something really an interesting color or a new motif on it, oh, I love it. I have to have it. It's just that you have a passion for it. It's not. I would not be happy selling toaster ovens.
But is that your goal as a designer, to stimulate business, or is it to something
more? No,
well,
first, you have to please yourself. You have to please yourself aesthetically. I mean, my idol was Yves Saint Laurent, and he always told everyone, learn your craft, learn your craft. I mean, it's like everyone else. I mean, it's not brain surgery, but it's something that is part of a cultural, being. I mean, we all get dressed in the morning. We all have to put clothes on.
But what is it? When you design something new,
yes.
What's your goal other than to make the cash register?
My first goal is to make something beautiful, because, I consider myself an artist first, and then, but yet I cannot make something that's going to hang in a museum. It has to retail, because that's how they judge you in the industry. All the shows that are going on this week, they show a wonderful, beautiful image. They show them on these girls that are 6 foot, size 4. We all know that the American woman is not that size. The average American woman is a 12 top and a 14 bottom. So you have to do things that are commercial, that's going to be pleasing. But women, it's an escape. It's a wonderful escapism to have something, go shopping in the store, and you're selling an image, a dream. The richest designer in the United States is Ralph Lauren, and he said, "I'm not a designer, but I'm a designer of dreams," and he's the most successful, and he's built a wonderful empire.
The designer,
he was a poor boy from the Bronx.
The designer George Simonton, an FIT professor, my guest on WNYC. Let's take a few phone calls. Nassim in Brooklyn. Hi, Nassim, you're on the air.
Hi, Brian.
How are you?
Hi. I'm a younger, I guess, feminist. I'm actually in law school, and I'm going to be an attorney, so I guess this is appropriate.
Uh-huh.
Your guest mentioned, certain conventions of fashion, and I feel that, I agree that no matter what you put on jeans and a T-shirt, that's something of a fashion statement. Everyone has to dress themselves. That's fine. But it occurs to me, and especially as I have, I've been working over the summers and I'm looking for jobs next year, as a woman, there are certain conventions of dress, particularly in the professional world, that are not perceived as, high fashion per se, like a Paris runway, but that I think go to professional credentials. So things like high heels and pantyhose and skirt suits, which I find to be horrendously uncomfortable, are perceived as a prerequisite of kind of having a professional career. And if you don't wear those things in an interview, people question your intelligence and your professionalism. And just kind of your ability to work in a corporate environment. So,
well, I don't think anyone wears pantyhose anymore. I mean, I have lots of female lawyer friends, and they dress just they just love beautifully tailored. They can do beautifully tailored clothes and still, look appropriate. But the days of the pantyhose and the foundation garment, no one does that anymore.
I think that's not true. I think in many environments, they're definitely perceived as kind of a requisite of professional dress. And I want to question the underlying assumptions of, you know, what is perceived as normal dress, not even fashionable these days,
yeah.
And kind of how certain conventions are reflections of, say, patriarchy or, you know, particular desires of men to have women look a certain way or to accentuate their figures or their features in a certain way. So I think that it's kind of implicit in a lot of things, and it's not recognized on a daily basis. But
yes,
perhaps we need to question those.
Well, I've been designing for 42 years, and I've seen the cycles change. In the 80s, a lot of women were wearing these really uptight suits and bow ties to work, and sneakers and everything. And they've really finally gotten away from that. The dress codes have been much more relaxed, but it still has to be appropriate. You can't have garments that are like lots of décolleté showing and everything. And it's just inappropriate having that common sense of having to dress, having a feeling for beautiful fabrics and a beautiful tailored garments, and then feel comfortable. I think anyone that's comfortable, then they're ready to work.
Right. And so it sounds like Nassim hasn't found yet what's both comfortable and acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
Julie in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Julie.
I wanted to speak to the idea of fashion as art. I think one of the things that kind of makes fashion, I work in fashion, and one of the things that makes a lot of people feel as if fashion is not an art form is the fact that you look at a magazine, you look at a beautiful fashion story, but so much of it is dictated by the advertisers. You know, page one has to have this designer because they've paid X amount, and page two has to pay this. And that's where fashion loses its art form in the dictation prior to that. And I just wanted to...
Well, we have a lot of young, budding young artists, and they do find... I find that if they're good, they'll find their way. I think that, of course, there are people that pay a lot for advertising that, you know, what you're saying is true. But the thing is that in the long run, I think, you know, cream comes to the top, and I think we have to nurture creativity today. Because the designers are, you know, there's always a wonderful bright lights that are coming through, like Zach Posen. I mean, I think he's an American designer that studied at Central Saint Martin. Extremely talented young man. Peter Lamb, Peter Somm. They're all these wonderful young talents that are coming up.
We're going to give the last word to Brian in Brooklyn, who's calling to say that he's an FIT student but thinks fashion is not important. Brian, we have exactly 20 seconds for you. Go.
Hi. I feel like it's really unfortunate that fashion has to be imposed. I feel like it's imposed. You know, if you want to go to an interview, you have to dress a certain way. You have to.
So what do you hope to accomplish going to FIT?
What, I'm sorry?
So what do you hope to accomplish at FIT?
Studying graphic design. And it's sort of the same thing, you know, it's dictated by, you know, capital, it's, you know, and...
Brian, that's got to be the last word. This conversation goes on the edges of Fashion Week. Director George Simonton, designer George Simonton, thanks a lot.
Thank you, you're welcome. Bye-bye.
Take care, ask him be, because he's a...